I'm good. So we'll just continue to try. Amen. You can crack that door a little bit, Vic. It's fine. But I'm not going to let it mess my spirit up. Amen. You want to click the first one for me, Vic? Yep. No, don't do that. Don't do that, Ron. It messes up on the recording. No, it messes up on the recording. It's fine. I'll be fine. If I pass, y'all resurrect me. Amen? It's okay to laugh in church. Amen? So, good thing it's not in summertime. We'll get it fixed or get out, one of the two. Amen? I'm looking for another place. I was praying about some stuff this week, and I definitely have been going through the pruning process. How many of you know what pruning is? Going through some stuff, right? And so a lot of times when we're going through stuff and facing some things, we often have one question: God, why? We often think maybe we've done something wrong, we've done something to deserve this, and a lot of times God is not pruning us because we've done something wrong. It's that he wants to take us to another level in our faith. Come on, somebody. Oftentimes, he wants us to depend on him. And so I had looked at the word pruning. I'll come back to the scripture in a minute. But I had looked at the word pruning in the dictionary. Read that, somebody. Anybody can read it, whoever wants to read it. Go ahead, Richard. To remove something superfluous or an unwanted part. When I think about unwanted parts, anger, bitterness, pride. Come on, somebody. So we're not talking maybe physical, but some of us have to allow God. Trust me, I'm not perfect. I got some stuff God's still trying to remove on me, amen? But when he's pruning us, it's because he has something better for us. Come on, somebody. And so sometimes when we look at the pruning process, we often ask ourselves, God, why am I going through this? And it's not necessarily that we've done something wrong. It's because God is preparing us for the next move in our life that he wants us to do. Amen? And so, you know, oftentimes we struggle with the process that God has taken us through. And so I went to the scripture, and I found the scripture. Now I'm going to read this in the Message Bible for those of you who are King James Version or New King James Version or whatever, but I sometimes will translate it into what it meant or what it wanted to say, and when I read it in the Message Bible, it made a lot more sense for you to understand. It says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer, okay? He cuts off every branch, here it is, church, he cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear what? Grapes, or someone say fruit. So if you're doing something and you're not bearing nothing from it, then God wants to remove that. In other words, it's doing nothing for you, okay? He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back, here it is, so it will bear even more. Watch this. Say, if nothing's cut off, nothing can grow from it. Y'all get that on the way home. Sometimes things have to be cut off so something new can move. Something new can grow. Amen? And sometimes when he prunes us, it's not comfortable. Come on, somebody. It's not comfortable in here this morning because the air is not working, but he's pruning us. Come on, somebody. Okay? Thank God it's not in the middle of summer. Amen? But here's what he says. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back. So it will bear, someone say, bear even more. Now watch this. You are already pruned. Y'all get that? Back by the message I have spoken, he's saying, God is pruning you. He's doing some stuff through you, but here it is, backed by the message that I have spoken. In other words, a pruning process is not necessarily comfortable, but it's necessary. Someone say it's not comfortable, but it's necessary. If you don't cut nothing off, nothing else can grow. Okay? Do y'all remember the story when Jesus went by the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree and they came by and the fig tree had died? You see, sometimes God will allow things to be removed in your life because it's infecting you and affecting you. Come on, somebody. If it infects you, someone say, if it infects me, it will affect me. In other words, when we were going through the coronavirus, some of us could be carriers of the virus but never get the disease. Y'all get that down the road. You can carry something and it might not affect you, but it'll affect some. Come on, somebody. It might affect somebody else because what you do is a direct reflect of how somebody else is. Come on, somebody. And we have to own up, come on, somebody, to what we are doing. So every branch, watch this, church. So every branch that doesn't bear fruit must be cut off and something new has to grow. In other words, what is the definition of insanity, church? Those online, doing the same thing over again and expecting a different results. In other words, we've been coming here for a month and a half now. We ain't getting no different results. It's time to go. I'm looking this week. I don't care who's watching online. But it's like it's a money pit here. Throwing all this money into this and we ain't getting nothing done. So God said, start looking. We'll go to a smaller building anyways. Come on, somebody. Doesn't mean we're ending. We'll find another place to go. New beginnings. Probably need to get out of here anyways because of the history. That's another thing. Amen? You're already pruned back to the message I've spoken. So in other words, it's not when God is changing stuff that it's necessarily bad. It looks bad. Someone say it looks bad at the time. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. It's because God is trying to do something new. Come on, church. I got messed up in the past 2 weeks, Richard. I got totally messed up. So I made a decision not to take on the full-time position at Fort Worth, one of my companies. Made a decision, right, Ron? Wasn't going to do 54 patients by myself, plus bereavement, plus all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I went from 54 patients to I was just doing Mansfield and Arlington and Grand Prairie. And then when I declined to go full-time at Fort Worth, I go to work on that following Monday that I declined. I declined the full-time. Y'all know how long I've been praying for full-time. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, that's not for you. I said, Lord, I need insurance. My shoulder's hurting. I need to go see a doctor. He said, I don't want you there. I prayed about it. Asked some people to pray with me. On a Friday, I said, I don't want to do full-time for Fort Worth. So I'm declining your offer. Monday, I got an email. This patient is now going to the Fort Worth team. All the Arlington patients and all the Grand Prairie patients. So now no, I not only declined 54, but they took 15 from me. So now the office I'm going to has zero patients. I gave up $2,200 a month down to zero. And I'm thinking, Lord, maybe I wasn't listening. And when things don't happen the way you expect, guys, sometimes we think we weren't listening to God, but someone say, but wait. As Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. So I said, okay, it's good. They said, Pastor Mike, can you train the chaplain for Denton and the chaplain for our Fort Worth office and the other PRN chaplain for the next 2 weeks, and then after that you will no longer be attached to Fort Worth. I said, okay, I'll do it. No problem. So all of a sudden I get this call. Hey, are you interested in coming to an interview for another hospice company, not related with my home company, which is Care Hospice, and they have all these brands, totally separate company, totally new company, and I go to the interview in Weatherford. So I was going to be in Weatherford, Springtown, and everything else. I said, I don't want to drive that, but they're going to pay me mileage and hour and everything, so I go. So I went over to the interview. Interview went well. Everything was great. On a Tuesday, a day after I declined the Fort Worth position, and I got removed from Fort Worth. Went to the interview. Great. Tuesday, no word. All of a sudden, the next day, I get a call from my company, Care, who has another brand, which is a larger brand that's out of Weatherford. They said, hey, Pastor Mike, we heard that you left Fort Worth, and we got an email saying you want to go under us. Is that true? I said, yeah. They said, hey, I got to ask you something. I said, sure. They said, we're overwhelmed. We have 210 patients. Can you take on about 25 to 30 patients? Watch this. And I said, well, I'm kind of in between some. I went and interviewed with another company, so I have to see what happens. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I want to be full-time with Care Hospice in one of their brands, okay? Because I've got 2 years vested. I've got 401k. I got all that. So I'm like, yeah, ultimately, I want to go. But all of a sudden, they said, well, let us know. Wednesday, no call from the other company. Thursday, no call from the other company. Friday, no other call. So the guy that recommended me for the job calls me on that Friday. He said, hey, Pastor Mike, what's up? Won't give no names. He says, just want you to know that company X asked me if I wanted the PRN job. I said, that's why they didn't call me. He recommended it to me, then he comes back. He didn't do nothing wrong. It was the company. The company said, well, we really like Pastor Mike, but he's not in the Weatherford area. He lives in Arlington, and that would be a problem because he's not going to be accessible as we need him. And I told this individual, I said, you know what? God's got me. Got off the phone, called Care, called Alpha and Omega. I said, hey, you still need me? They said, yeah. They said, can we give you about 30 patients? He said, here's what we're going to do for you, Pastor Mike. Someone say, this is crazy. It's almost like when Jesus told them to go back and fish in the same place that they had told all night. They said, our territory is expanding to central Fort Worth. And we have Arlington patients in Middle Lothian. Would you like to take everything close to your house? And my answer was, absolutely. And they have 210 patients. And really, I will be full-time with them in probably about another month. Which means I'm going to be making more money with less companies. I'm going to have two companies and making quite a bit more than I was with five. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that God works all things together for the good of them that love the Lord and for those that have been called according to his purpose. So now, and I will tell you all, some of y'all call me and I don't pick up. Some of y'all have an attitude because I don't pick up. It's not that I'm being rude and don't want to pick up. It's because I'm tired, boss. There ain't no balance. When you commit to something, you got to take care of your business. So I'm working, last week I worked 64 hours in 1 week and drove over 600 miles. Okay? But I know I got a big fat paycheck coming, so I'm blessed because everything I do, I get paid for. Hours, mileage, phone calls, everything. Okay? My point is I'm trying to make, I had to allow to be pruned, watch this, just because I made a decision and it didn't turn out the way I thought, God was still pruning me. God always, watch this church, God, someone say God, always has a ram in the bush. Pruning, let's go over that again. To remove, super what? Superfluous. What does that mean? Thank you. You're smart, Richard. I want someone else to say it. I want her to say it right there. By removing unwanted, someone say unwanted parts. So, someone say the rest of the story. I want to get to a place in my life. Less drama, mama. Come on, somebody. Someone say, less drama, mama. Because I'm at a place now that I am not getting any younger. I'm going to be 55 in April. And I want to be able to go to work, come home, and relax and pastor my church. Amen? And so maybe there's a pruning process going on because we have to keep our eyes on the prize. Come on, Richard. Someone say, keep your eyes on the prize. How many of y'all have been through a pruning process lately or have been going through some pruning yourself? Okay, God, listen to me. Because God is doing something in your life doesn't necessarily mean that he's mad at you or he's upset with you. If he don't do it, you never will. Come on, somebody. It's called forced faith. That's what the Lord gave me. Someone say forced faith. If you don't do it, he'll find a way to get your attention to do it. Come on, somebody. And so we in this ministry, maybe God is forcing us to find someplace else to go. Okay? Because we don't need all this space right now. We don't need those other suites, right? Maybe God wants us to go, I don't know, but we're going to find a place with air. Come on, somebody. Even if it's going to be a little old room. God will provide, right, Ron? So the thing I'm trying to tell you is when God is cutting stuff off, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's a bad thing. It means that the place where that was cut off at, someone say, it has to grow back better and stronger and better than it was. Okay? When you call a tree company to prune your trees, what happens, Richard? And what's the purpose of that? Something new grow. Because what I want you to understand is everything that's coming out of that pruning process, there is a reason why God is allowing stuff to happen. And I want to mess your theology up this morning, okay? Watch this, guys. We give the devil too much credit. Oh, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. Quit talking about the enemy. Start talking about Jesus. Quit talking about the enemy did this. No, Jesus is allowing. Jesus is allowing some stuff to go on in your life because he wants your attention. We sit back and we talk about the enemy way too much. Oh, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. No, no, no. Sometimes the enemy does what the word says. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm not looking what the enemy's doing. I'm looking what Jesus is doing. I am ready for my abundant life. I'm ready for prosperity. I'm ready for blessings. Come on. I'm ready to get back everything the devil stole from me. Come on, somebody. I tell everybody, I confess that I will be back in Grand Prairie one day. In a house. Come on, somebody. The devil didn't steal nothing from me. It just sidetracked me, that's all. Come on, somebody. So, someone say, allow the pruning process to take place. Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. How many of y'all have some anxiety? He's searching you. And the only person that can search you the best is God. Because why? The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. He says, try me and know my anxieties. There's not a person here this morning that can say they're perfect. There's not a person here this morning that can say they got it all together. Come on, somebody. Each one of us have problems that we face every day. Maybe anger, maybe bitterness, maybe a poor budget person. I don't know. OK, Okay? Right? I don't know what it is. But he says, know my anxieties, Lord. And here's what he says. Look at this. Psalms 139:24. Read that, Ron. You're telling God to remove some of that pruning. And see if there's any wicked in me. And remove it away from me. If you have an attitude, let him take it away. If you have anger, let him take it away. If you have bitterness, let him take it away. If you have malice, let him take it away. If you have anxiety, let him take it away. And see if the... See, here's what the psalmist wrote. David writes, I'm being transparent. Listen to me, one thing about me, you can't tell a lie on me because I'm real anyways. Amen? I get upset when people lie about me because I'm not that person. Amen? There's one thing in my life that I got to learn to do better is I cannot stand when someone lies on me that bothers me and get me involved in stuff that has nothing to do with me. Come on, somebody. Right? And so we come to a place that if there's any wicked in me and lead me in the way. See, sometimes here's the biggest problem in the body of Christ today. We're afraid to expose ourselves. Excuse me. Because we think people will think less of us. Listen to me. I got 99 problems, but loving Jesus ain't one of them. Come on, somebody. I put my pants on the same way you did this morning. One leg at a time. Come on, somebody. When I get angry, I get upset. When I get mad, I get upset. And let me tell you something. If you find a man of God or a Christian that says they're perfect, run. Amen? Because we ain't perfect. We're going to upset each other. We're going to make each other mad. We're going to say stuff out of context. Because the Bible even says that there's not one righteous among us. And we're not looking to be perfect. We're looking for him to perfect us. Come on, somebody. That's a good word. Amen? We are not looking to be perfect. We are looking for him to perfect us. And see, there is any wicked in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Listen to me. I have been doing this a long time. Anybody know how long Pastor Mike's been preaching? 20 years. 24. Higher. There, one lower. 26 years. I've been in ministry 26 years. 25 years. It will be 26. I've been to big churches. I've been on television. I've been to small churches. I was still a friend of Pastor Ricky Rush, one of the largest churches in Metroplex. Okay? I've done it all. And one thing I've found, guys, is this. As long as you're real with people, you'll get the message across. I tell people all the time, might as well be honest because they're going to find out who you are anyways. Amen. Come on, somebody. I don't know why people lie about who they are. Because eventually they're going to find out who you are anyway. So that's what God is saying. He's trying to bring you to the forefront to say this. And see if there's any wicked in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Look what he says, guys. John 12 and 24. Here's what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, some say it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Some say something has to die for it to live. Does anybody understand the metamorphosis of a caterpillar? Have you ever really studied a caterpillar? Which turns into what? A butterfly. I've often thought about this, church. If you look at a butterfly, the body's the same as a caterpillar. Did you know that? Y'all gonna get this. That which was crawling on the ground is now flying above its circumstances. But it has to go through a metamorphosis. It has to go through a change. Come on. The body's still intact. All it does is grow wings. So it adapts. Watch this, church. It adapts to what it has to be. A lot of us won't allow the pruning or the metamorphosis process because, no, I don't want people to know that I stubbed my toe. One thing about me, I'm real. I'm real. Has anybody ever seen Pastor Mike public? Do I change? I'm still loud. I'm still obnoxious. I'm still very straightforward. And that's who I am. And that's what he's talking about. When a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, watch this, church. When it turns into a butterfly, it has to die. But it doesn't really die. It goes into a state of what we call the cocoon. And while it's in a cocoon, this is so good, Elder Ron. This is good, Elder Vic. While it's in the cocoon, you don't see it developing, but God does. Come on, somebody. It goes into a cocoon, watch this, church, to grow and develop the next thing that God wants that caterpillar to do, which is to grow wings and fly. And the thing about that is, even though we don't see it changing, someone say, even though we don't see it changing, it's changing. And oftentimes, people don't see us change. I'm telling you right now, I talked to Kim yesterday about this. Okay? I'm getting to a place that Victor been praying for me for years. I need to be more private. Come on, somebody. Ministry is ministry. Personal is personal. Come on, somebody. I remember years ago, I used to be putting everything on Facebook, where I'm at, where am I going, I'm on a cruise, I'm on this, I'm on that. And folks be like, oh, we know how'd you, Facebook don't have to know who I am. And I'm coming to a place, it's like, when you share everything with everybody, that gives the enemy a way to try to take you down. When you feed the enemy too much information, church, he'll use it against you. And so I'm getting to a place that, yes, I'm your pastor, and yes, call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I've always been that way. Call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. It's fine, because I would do hospice. But don't call me and say, hey, pastor, just call to see what you're doing. I'm sleeping! Right? I'm not sleeping, but, well, I was. Unless you go into the hospital, you die, and call me in the morning. Bye. You know, I make fun, y'all. If you need me, call me, right? You know I've always been that way, okay? But what I'm trying to say is God is doing a pruning process. He's allowing some stuff to happen. He's allowing some things to happen in my life that's going to change for the better. Watch this. Here's what he tells you are, church. You're the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? And man, this girl right here, boy, it could have 100 ounces of salt in Bonita.
Not anymore, Pastor.
Thank God. Go out to dinner with her. Where's the salt? I said it already tastes like a salt dish, and you're putting more salt on it?
I can't do that anymore.
Thank God. Let me tell you what salt is. Salt is flavor. Look, just go like this to yourself. Seriously, do it. I know it's crazy in this church. Just do this to yourself. Say, I got flavor. You got flavor, baby. Flavor, Flav. Someone said, I got flavor. And the reason why you got flavor, because you got God on you. When you walk into a room, people should know that you belong to him. When you walk into a place, people don't have to say who you are. They know whose you are. Come on, somebody. He says, if you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor. Good morning, Pastor Mike. I'm here for church. What happened to that scripture? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me till I got here and it's hot as heck and I need to leave. Amen. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under feet of men. You're supposed to be the light of the world. People are supposed to see who you are. When you go, listen to me. Don't be ashamed when God is pruning you. Don't be ashamed when God is breaking you and molding you and shaping you and bringing you out to the place that he has for you. Because I know one thing. Every good thing works together for the good of them that love the Lord and for those that have been called according to his purpose. Listen to me. I'm on the backside of this thing. I'm about to be blessed by so many things that God's about to do. I'm going to be blessed when I'm coming, blessed when I'm going. Come on, somebody. God is doing something. And I just have a little bit longer before this man's about to be blessed. Because I'm walking. As soon as I get another 20 patients, Ron, there ain't no question. I'm out. I'm going to have one full-time company and one part-time company. And I'm going to get up at 9 o'clock, do some charting or do some scheduling, go see about 3-4 patients, get home about 2 o'clock, chart, be done at 3, holla at you, boy. Because I'm going to have about 60 patients with two companies. And what they pay me per hour, because I got a raise, is plenty to carry me for whatever I want. So God's about to give me less work with more money. God is good, ain't he, Richard? I'm about 20 patients away from walking away from my other companies. And the way they're admitting patients left and right at my new company, it won't be that long. When you're the salt of the earth, most of us are losing our flavor. And you know how we lose our flavor? We allow the enemy to bring us down. We allow our circumstances to overtake us and get us discouraged. Things are going to happen. Someone say, I ain't perfect. I won't go into the details, but something happened yesterday that upset me. Messed up my day. I had great plans yesterday, and this thing happened, and all of a sudden, boom. It just messed my day up. Because I got accused of something I didn't do. Wasn't even around it. But I was attached to it because of what somebody said about me. Come on, somebody. And I should not have let it, but it did. It messed up my day. And we have to overcome those things. Come on, somebody. We have to not let those things bring us down. Watch this. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In other words, you have got to, watch this, church. Someone say you have to get better, not bitter. Someone says that's a good word. I'm going to replay that one later on online. You have to get better, not bitter. I have a whole lot of things in my life in a year and a half that I have reason to be bitter about. Come on, somebody. Lost 3/4 of my church. Come on. Gave up my big 3,000 square foot house. Come on, somebody. My whole life has changed now. Right? So I say, but God. But I still got something that's still important to me. My babies. I'm a victor, not a victim. I still got my babies. All five of them. All five of my fur babies. Amen. It's interesting today because we oftentimes look at what we lost, but we don't look at what we have. Do you have a roof over your head? Praise him for it. Do you have food in your stomach? Praise him for it. Do you have the ability to come to church? Praise him for it. Can I Can I use your illustration from Friday or the other day when I came to dinner? So I went over to have dinner with Dawn, and I need to stay away from there because she's feeding me pasta. And I'm trying to lose weight and trying to get fine, but man, that pasta was good, though. It was good. She even had Arnold Palmer for me. Man, I was blessed. And then she even let me take some Arnold Palmer home, amen? But I was over there because it wasn't just to eat. Because Mom, Anita, has some very serious questions about her life. Her health is declining. Not that we're putting it on her, but it's reality. Listen to me. I do this for a living every day of my life. And you can ignore the fact that you're getting older, but you're getting older. Okay? But the fact is, someone say the fact is, they're blessed that they have a pastor that this is what he does for a living. And she had questions about out-of-hospital DNRs and hospice and those kinds of things. So I went over there as the pastor, but then I had to jump into my hospice chaplaincy. And God blessed us to be able to help Anita. Okay? And people don't want to talk about it. And she hands me this paper. She goes, son, this is how I want my services. I said, what services? When she dies. I'm like, Mom, you're giving me this now? She goes, nah, honey, I want to be prepared. And she's very specific. This scripture, this song. So we got to make sure we get it right, elders. Amen, Vic. Because she'll be watching. Amen. She ain't going nowhere tomorrow. Trust me. She's got plenty of time. But the Lord put it on her heart for me to do the services when she goes to be with Jesus. And that's a tough conversation to have, right? Richard, right, Josh? It's a tough conversation to have. But there's a process that you have to go through of acceptance. And when you lose things in life, it's a process. Y'all, I've been going through this for a year and a half. But watch what happens. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are supposed to show people that no matter what God is doing to prune us, we still have faith in Jesus. No matter what we're facing in life, church, we still have to magnify his name. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the bleeding blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You are a light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. Someone saying cannot be hidden. We come to a place when we are being pruned of have to accept what God is doing in our lives. In John 16:1, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Listen to me. I don't care who you believe in, Trump, Biden, whatever. I'm not going to get political in the church. But what I do know, that they will never change what the Bible says. These things must come to pass. I don't care who our president is. The book of Revelation is still going to happen. Come on, somebody. They can change whatever they want. They can say what they want. They can try to change the rules if they want. But one thing about me, I'll go eat grapes before I fall victim to what they want me to do. Come on, somebody. You ain't putting no chip in my arm. Come on, somebody. You ain't going to track me. You ain't going to control me. And you ain't going to yoke me. And as long as I'm still breathing and the church is still here, I will say, thus says the Lord. Come on, somebody. Because guess what? The Bible is still the truth. And every man's a liar. So Jesus said, you're going to go through some pruning. He said, there's some things that they're going to do to you these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. He said, you're going to go through tough times. It doesn't mean you give up. Come on, church. At one time, this ministry had over 250 people in it every Sunday. When we were up on North Carrier Parkway. I was a full-time pastor. I did hospice part-time. So I had a salary from the church. It was a big church. And then the enemy came in and brought division. Then we shut the ministry down for a couple of years. And we came over here. And then we were doing really good until COVID hit. Right? We're probably 50, 60, 70 people on Sunday. Right, Ron? Easy. Yeah. Then COVID hit. And we come out of COVID. And guess what? Pastor Mike got divorced. Or separated, then divorced. So I've been like whammied. And I've been told, you know, Pastor Mike, just go be an evangelist and go preach at other churches and go to that God hasn't told me to do that. This is where he tells me to be. And here's what the Bible says. As long as there's one, he'll go after the one and leave the 99. Come on, guys. God's going to turn this thing around. We just have to refocus on what's important. And if you're going through a pruning process, it's because God's got something greater for you. Come on, somebody. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Okay? John 6 and 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers good service or God's service. Listen to me, guys. We live in a society, a godless society. Come on. Let me tell you the society we live in. And if I offend you, I'm just going to speak the truth. We live in a society where it's acceptable to have someone of the opposite sex as your partner. It's accepted in today's society. Or of the same sex, I should say. Okay? We live in a society where we want to put stuff under the rug. Come on. Am I being bold this morning? Absolutely. Because God's not in that. I'm sorry. God's not in that. You can get offended if you want, but let me tell you something. My Bible still tells me what it tells me. That sin is still sin. Come on, somebody. We're living in a day and age where everything is accepted, even in the church. We have ministers that are in the pulpit who have an alternative lifestyle. And they're preaching the gospel. That is mockery to Jesus. I can't get an amen this morning, Elder Ron. No, they will put you, look what it says, they'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that they offer God's service. We're living in a day and age where people have become godless. We're living in a day and age where we want to see how close we can get to the world instead of go get close to the Word. Cowboys play at noon today. I better hurry. People wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to prepare for a tailgate. To go over to AT&T Stadium, because they're tailgating outside, they play at home today. So they're tailgating. They'll wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, pack their bar. Am I lying? Tell them the truth. Shame the devil, Vic. He used to do it until he found Jesus. That is their God. That is their God. The star is their God. Why? Because when the Cowboys lose, they're mad. When the Cowboys win, they're okay. Do me a favor. Can I see one of them paychecks they paid you to say that? Why are you following something? You ain't even getting a benefit from it. I love my Broncos. But I'll never miss a church service just to go to a Bronco game. Everything I do in my life, it has to be focused around, let me do the church first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. See, sometimes you got to get pruned. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father in me. Jesus said the reason why they're attacking him is because they don't even know him who sent him. Jesus was like, he who is the resurrection is standing right in front of you, but because of your hearts or malice, God's trying to prune you, but you don't even see that I am that I am. Church, I want to give you a revelation. This is going to end one day. And he's going to split that eastern sky. And those of us that have been caught up shall remain in the Lord, and so shall we're going to be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. And these things they're doing because they don't know the Father nor me. I love what he says, Elder Ron. Look what he says, church. He says, they don't know who nor me. Let me tell you something. You can't separate Jesus from God. And you can't separate God from the Holy Spirit. You can't eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and not put jelly on it and call it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Pastor Mike, would you like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And I bit into it, there's no jelly on it. Why'd you give me? Well, is it, no, you can't call it what it's not. Come on, somebody. Put that on a t-shirt. You can't call it what it's not. But you can call it what it is. Facts are facts. You asked me for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's no jelly on the sandwich. It is a peanut butter sandwich. You can't call it. Someone say you can't call it what it's not. We're doing that with Christ, with church. We're the worst thing that happened to church was COVID. Because it isolated us. It separated us. We got followers online, about 100, 110 people that watch on Sunday. And now it's even better. They don't even have to watch live. They can go back this afternoon and watch it after they get done their personal stuff. The Bible says, do not forsake yourself gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. And so we're allowing, watch this, we're allowing the pruning to get to us. Here it goes. Someone say, he who is faithful. In what is at least faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what least is unjust also in much. Because guess what? What you reap you sow, church. Here's what he said in John 9 and 4. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. My final scripture is this. John 13 and 18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He eats bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed. Jesus knew there was a pruning process coming. Listen to me. I want you to do something for me from here on out. I want you to embrace pruning. I want God to break you. I want God to mold you. I want God to shape you. I want God to help you understand that it's a process that I'm going through. And I might be in the cocoon for just a little while, Mom. I might. And you might not see me for a while. But boy, when I come out, I'm going to have the most beautiful wings. Just think about how crazy that is, church. They think they're killing us. But they're not. We're in a cocoon. And God is molding and shaping and doing some stuff for us. The only way we fail is when we quit. I heard someone the other day. I was at a patient's house. It was a new admission. And this was just before the patient died. I did the admission. The patient actually died 12 hours later. And I stood at the side of this bed. And this man, with his last and few breaths that he can muster up. The son was there and the daughter was there and the patient was there and he hadn't talked for 3 days. I go there in Midlothian. I walk in as I'm Pastor Mike with da-da-da. She goes, yeah, we've been waiting on you. All my dad wanted to do was to see a preacher before he left. I'm standing there. And I said, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? He said, I just want him to know that I love him. And he said it in his broken, he had oxygen on, and I'm not trying to make you mess up and leave church this morning, but when someone's ending towards that time, we hear the death rattle. It's a it's death rattle. Kim, you're a nurse, you know what I'm talking about. And in his broken rattleness, Anita, he said, all I want him to know is I love him. And I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he made his peace with God. And 12 hours later, he was gone. And the daughter called me yesterday, day before yesterday. And she said, Pastor Mike, out of everything that was done, we appreciate it. She said, but you coming that day was the most important thing. Because my dad had peace that passes all understanding. And he left this world knowing that Jesus was going to receive him. Elder Ron has had those situations. Every day, that's what your two, what your elder and your pastor face. We face death every single day. And I wish I could tell people. I wish I could take the whole church with me one day and show you what I deal with. And we get so upset because I can't come to church because the Cowboys are playing. Man, you better get yourself right. Here's what he says. I'll tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. He's pruning us, church. Let's not look at the pruning as a bad thing. Let's just allow him. Watch this, church. Let's just allow him to do it. Because one way or the other, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives him who sent me. Guys, we're all being pruned. We're all stumbling and struggling with some things in our life. We can either accept it and move on and let God do it, or we can stay in our mess and be unhappy. As for me and my house, my dogs too, we will serve the Lord. Mama gave me a sign one time, and I put it up above my computer. So when I get inspiration to do a sermon, I look up and it says, preach the hell out of them. Preach the hell out of them. Church, we need to quit worrying about dying, and we need to start living. Go smell some roses once in a while. Go enjoy yourself. I'm going on a cruise next year, y'all. You don't know when, because I'm keeping it private. But I'm still doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to tell you. If I'm not here that Sunday, he must be on vacation. I'm getting back to living. I'm getting back to doing what God's called me to do. And guess what? I don't want to spend the rest of my life that I have on earth complaining and murmuring what I didn't get, what I don't have. Guess what? All that is, I'm done with that, man. I'm shaking off the, Jesus said, it is well for you to abide with them. And if they stay with you, it's okay. But if they don't receive you, shake off the dust and move on. Someone say, move on with your flavor self. Move on. Move on in the things that God has for you. A pruning process means that God's got something better for you. I know we're getting some comments online. That's good. Listen to me. Only what's done for Christ will last. What's not done for Christ will soon pass. You have to allow God to prune you. Own up to your mistakes. Man, me and this man fight all the time. Run. Well, we get cross once in a while. We're on our way to the Center of Hope one night. We're on our way to the Center of Hope. And you know, Pastor Mike is, they call it anal, but I just call it being on time, right? So it was like 5:30, 4:35, right? 5 minutes late, they weren't here yet. They get in the car. I'm sorry, Pastor Benito. Ron goes, hey, Pastor. I said, man, you got to quit being late. We got to go. Not thank you for coming. Not appreciate him going to the Center of Hope. He said, well, I don't have to go. That's what he said. So what I do, I said, get out then. I did. Hey, tell the truth, shame the devil, right, Vic? I said, get out then, man. You ain't got to go. You're right. You ain't got to go. Funny is the following month he did it. It was just the women that month. No, I'm just joking. It actually was. It was. But as I was driving to the Center of Hope, the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, how are you supposed to go minister to them homeless when you just got crossed with your elder? I apologized, right? God was pruning me. Let him get in the car, welcome him, then yell at him. Amen. I love you, brother. Guys, God is good. And we can do what we want to do as long as we trust God. Allow him to prune you. Allow him to shape you and go through some stuff, because I'll guarantee you the reward is greater on the other side of your circumstance. Someone say, my reward is greater on the other side of my circumstance. Because I know one thing. No matter what nobody says, God is still going to have his way. And if this is his plan, then it's his plan. And we just have to submit ourselves to his plan. Because when I'm being pruned, it gives me room to pour out. And this week, I have a very crazy week. I've got a bunch of visits before the end of the month. I've got to go to Weatherford and Springtown and all of that. And I'm okay with that, because he's a provider. And I'm working this hard, because eventually I'm going to pass the blessing off to Elder Ron. God wants us to live in perfect peace and harmony, church. He wants you to have a life that is worth living. And I'm going to share this before the prayer partners come. Come on, Elder Ron. Come on, Don. Don't let bitterness and strife and malice and anger cause you from your blessing. If you've wronged somebody, admit it. If you've said something wrong, admit it. If you've said something out of context, admit it. Because I'll tell you one thing, church. You never know what the next day holds. The Bible says, not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Learn to be molded and pruned. Listen to me, I didn't always look this good. Took 55 years in the making. That was a good one, right, Don? Listen to me. It's okay to have fun in church. If you have a need this morning, the prayer partners are here. We're going to pray for you. If you have a prayer request online, leave a prayer request, and we'll pray for you. The altar's open for prayer, church.